Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clown with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Frank in the chat, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Mark Shu. I don't have a problem trading, but I do have a problem stopping.
I like that. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 341 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will, and we just did. And I do have to start the pod with a moment of appreciation for Saquon Barkley's backwards hurdle. As an Eagles fan, I had to bring that up off the top of the pod. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. But Frank is here with me tonight. Russ had to take the night off. So, Frank, I'm happy to have you here. Say hi to the people.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me, as always.
And we got a great guest here tonight and a good friend of mine, Mark Shu. Mark, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so for fantasy purposes, you can find me on Twitter at PrimetimeMock. I've done a little bit around the fantasy space over the past few years. Right, you know, currently or what I have been working on this past offseason, I did the Absolute Auction podcast with Ryan Miner and Adam Siegel, which is part of the Fantasy Face-Off Network. My in-season gig is sort of an independent sort of original concept reality style game called Fantasy Football, where we play DFS for immunity, and we have gauntlet twists through every week. It's kind of like an eliminator that has different advantages and challenges that go through it, and every week we send one or more players home.
Yeah, and I know you do a great job with it. I've seen you put little videos together. It's real interesting. If you still post on the Twitter or just in the server?
For the most part, we stick in server. I do want to start branching out, usually probably more in the off season, so I'm not spoiling it for any of my players, but we basically have, I mean, it's a full-on reality show that we have run through, that, you know, where you get videos from players, you know, messages to the league, you get video confessionals where everybody's talking about their performances throughout the week, and, you know, ultimately trying to put some content together. It's been a thing I put together over the past three seasons, and really, really proud of where it's come in that time, and just like, you know, I'm just really excited to play it. And I know I have, you know, there are some people out in this fantasy space that have played it and have really enjoyed it.
I was just gonna mention that. And didn't Hutch do it this year?
Yes, he did. There's a Matt Record is playing for his second year with the IDP guys. We had Kelly Singh from, you know, the Sick Podcast, and we have a number of others. We have Gymnastic, who works with, I believe, does True North Fantasy Football still a thing out there? I think they are. But he's been out playing with us for a few years, so we do get a lot of people from all over, and we've had some great players over the years, and you know, it's been a lot of fun to build over this time. So, you know, again, I'm really happy about it. Always trying to spread the word a little more, but every year we get a little bigger, and I feel a little better about it.
Yeah, it's a real interesting concept. Love what you're doing there. And it's obviously in season. It's too late to join now, but everybody look for it. Look for it next offseason. It doesn't just mean we mentioned a bunch of content creators are in there, but there's also a bunch of regular just, you know, fantasy players in there. You don't have to be a content creator to be part of it.
100%. It's average Joe's. If you've got a personality and you're willing to take, you know, a regular Snapchat length kind of video for certain things, like it kind of works out pretty well for you. We really build our own kind of community, and then just everybody that plays kind of is this in this own little world. And no, I've loved it. If you want to actually get on the server, feel free to DM me, Primetime Mock. And while we're at it, I will also send you Rocky's Fantasy Football Survivor server, because he does an excellent job working on Fantasy Football Survivor. I've had the privilege of playing a few times now. And really, Rocky, you do an excellent job. And being one of the only people out here that tries to make a reality show out of fantasy football, I've been able to sort of think of you as kind of a mentor. And it's been really great getting to know you and your game and being able to steal or, you know, take inspiration from you.
yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that, Mark. It's a kind of a very niche thing, but it is a lot of fun. Again, if anybody hears this and remembers 10 months from now and you're interested, that'll be, you know, applications for that next season too. But anyway, let's get into the dynasty. Let's get into the trading. Let's get into all that stuff. So Frank, why don't you start us off with the news?
Yeah. We can start with the Saints are a disaster. They fired Dallas. And then Olave.
Remember when they were 2-0 and scored like 80 points?
It's just, and everyone thought we were so back on the Saints, and yeah, not so much.
It's the Matt Rule Carolina Panthers, didn't they?
It go really is, hot, yeah.
And then they just
with Sam Darnold and everything. Yeah,
that's true.
And then Olave got absolutely smoked over
I
the
saw
middle.
That hit
and
the red zone as it happened. Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah. He's got feeling in it in all limbs, so that's good from a human perspective, obviously. But from a football perspective, Olave has a sneaky bad concussion history. This is his fourth concussion since he got into the NFL and his fifth concussion since college. So he's kind of, you know, I don't want to lead the question. Do we treat him like Tua now, right? Where like the next hit could be it? Because if you think about players like Tua and Brandon Cooks and, you know, other guys who have had concussion issues, there's always like a risk, right? Where, you know, the next concussion could be it, or, you know, this concussion could be it. So I guess, Mark, when you think about Olave, and I think Rocky and my opinion on Olave has been fairly documented over the last couple months, but are you buying him? Are you selling him? Are you just holding and praying he comes back so you can sell him later? What are you doing with Olave?
For the most part, I have a lot of Olave, so I'm kind of holding him right now. Yeah. In my dynasty spaces, just until I can kind of figure that out. But I guess really, you know, the question that I would kind of pose, are we expecting him to come back, you know, anytime soon, or are we? Because I think for like redraft, as long as he's playing, you can make that happen. But for dynasty, for me, you know, as a contender, it's concerning this year, right? And then for next year, then what is it? Okay, like what the question I would ask myself is like, what receiver slot, or is it a flex slot, where, you know, what receiver number is he on my roster? Am I comfortable with him being the wide receiver 2 or 3? 2 is kind of, you know, with this far out, 2 is kind of feeling like it's out of the question almost. Not that he's not a great player. You know, it's been inconsistent, and the concussions obviously don't sort of help that. So it's hard for me to want to, you know, go buy him right now. If I'm in a rebuild, I don't mind him coming over to my team though. I'm not going to try and like completely shy away from it at the same time. It's kind of tough for me. Honestly, you know, I've probably heard you talk about it, but what are your thoughts? General,
I was going to lead off my comments by saying this will give you an idea where I stand on Olave. It's going to surprise Frank not at all that I own 0 shares of Olave. So I think he's a nice player. I just think he's always been overvalued. Especially, and that opinion may be colored somewhat by this podcast because Russ has been a huge Olave guy and basically treated him as a wide receiver.
Even that's been waning a little bit over the last couple months.
Yeah, he started to come closer to where I am. But my contention has always been, really since he came into the league, that his ceiling is like a fantasy wide receiver too. And that's just for what people wanted for him, where you had to draft him in startups, that was his price was just always way too high for me. And I think that's been pretty much borne out by his time in the league. He's been wide receiver two-ish. So for me, I probably wouldn't even be looking to buy. I mean, this would be the time I would think about it, but I don't think he's going to go that much cheaper for people who have Olave. I think they're just going to be holding. I don't think that it would get into the range. And I would want him cheaper than even I would have paid before because of all this. So I didn't even realize until I saw your write-up, Frank, that how many concussions he's had. Yeah. You're right. It is a sneaky concussion history. So
can I ask a question? Yeah. So your team is contending, right?
I was literally going to bring. Yeah, this is where I was going.
Like, say your team is contending and you have Olave, right? Like, what are you thinking you want to get for him, or what are you thinking? Like, somebody comes to you and says, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good player.
Hopkins. Hopkins,
that's perfect. Yeah, Hopkins for Olave, and maybe not. I mean, you know, we can figure out
Hopkins plus second. For Olave is the trade I was having in my head while y'all were talking.
In my head,
I don't know if I trust Hopkins yet, just because of last night.
I'm not saying. I mean, like, I'm not trying to do it off of just last night, but I feel like he's you know, their home game. Obviously, there's like a little bit extra on it, right? He had a great game,
Of course, and it's primetime game and all by itself. And,
but also, yeah. I think he's kind of, you know, this is a different Chiefs team than we saw the first 8 weeks, at least on the offensive side. Is it something that's been that has helped unlock the offense? I tend to think it's a little more just they're playing the Tampa Bay Baker Mayfields, and they have to throw. So, but you know, that's. It, for the most part, I think, like, I'd probably still take a shot on Hopkins in the second. I think the second is enough for me to recoup. You can turn that into something else later on that might, you know, even if Olave comes back, I don't think that's something that, like, you can't come back from.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, given my general opinion of Olave, I probably would, too. Like you said, getting the second plus potential points, like I said, he's been granted he was on a not great team for a lot of that, but he had been pretty rough this year. I'm hoping we see something more similar to last night going forward. Obviously, he's not going to score 2 touchdowns every week, but with
keep in mind he was hurt to start the year too. I mean, he is older, so that's also
part of the risk. Yeah,
but you know, now he's seemingly healthy, and playing for the Chiefs. So at the very least, you know, I feel like. For this year, you know, you're going to have to take risks somewhere. There's not many better risks you can take than that if you need to unload and you know, get out from under Olave.
I'd agree.
Before I jump to the next thing, before everyone starts putting Ben Johnson in New Orleans, Aaron Glenn, who was the DC for the Lions, was a Saints player for a couple of years and the Saints coach for a lot of years too. So that feels like a good fit for what they want is some young defensive guy to come in and he'll find a coordinator. So let's not sprint to put Ben Johnson in New Orleans yet.
I don't think Ben Johnson kind of wants to go to the Bears. If he can.
Don't tease me like that, dude. I'm a big Bears guy. Don't tease
Johnson
me like that.
Johnson can probably, you know, pick wherever he wants to go.
Johnson can pick wherever he wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Russ is going to have to edit if I start talking about the Bears. So speaking of disasters, the Raiders are a disaster. They basically fired their entire offensive coaching staff, including Getsy. No word on who's entirely calling the plays, but they brought in Norv Turner to guide the offense alongside his son. So I would guess his son's calling it.
He was named interim offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah. Scott Turner was.
Yes. And they're now looking at all options headed into their bye, which includes starting Desmond Ridder. So this is great. What an option. I know. So is the Raiders story as simple as it's Bowers and that's it? Is Jacoby Myers do anything for you? Do you want to buy on any, you know, any of the running backs? I kind of had this as like, this is a disaster and this happened, but I'm not sure there's a ton to do off of this. Mark, what do you think?
For me, I think Jacoby Myers has actually done a pretty good job over his entire career of showing that he's still pretty functional and fine.
His whole career.
Bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Desmond Ridder would be probably his worst quarterback that he's seen. I'm trying to
probably.
Think.
Well,
I mean, yeah, he had.
Who do you have at the Patriots?
Did he have a Brady year?
He had Zappe and Mac.
His rookie year, I know, was Brady, but then I think he had
Zappe and Mac after that.
He had Zappe and Mac for a while. So, I mean, like, he had Zappe and Mac. He had
Ritter's probably
his worst. Minshew and O'Connell. And I mean, honestly, for what it's worth, I would have taken, you know, Desmond Ridder over O'Connell, like, in the vacuum of just really horrible quarterbacks. But, I feel like Jacoby Myers is continually underrated. I've been a big fan of Jacoby Myers for what he is, which is a wide receiver 3 in deep leagues. But
he's got a floor of 10 points, but he's got a ceiling of 10 points.
Like, yeah, but if you're in a 14 team league or bigger, like that's the world in your wide receiver 3
spot.
Of course. Like it can mean so much. So
I was just gonna say. I agree. He's got a pretty nice floor. He doesn't have a high ceiling, but four of his last 5 games, there was one single digit game in there. The other two were 21, 13, 17, 18 PPR.
Yeah, but he caught 2 touchdowns in the 21, right? Wasn't that something super wacky? He didn't he didn't do it on like 150 yards receiving or something.
No,
like
that was, I don't know. He must have caught a 2-pointer. Yeah. 7 for 62 and a touchdown.
Okay.
Plus a 2-point.
I mean, I think for what he is, again, like he's super consistent in a position that's not consistent whatsoever.
Yeah.
And while you can, you know, you can say like, oh, 10 points or, you know, 12 points, whatever. It's still valuable. And, you know, Desmond Ridder is gulp, you know, like you have to be willing to do that. Maybe if you want to not start him for a week, that's fine. But like, he hasn't been named the starter yet, guys. He hasn't been named it yet. And I'm willing to at least give Jacoby a shot because he's been a consistent player, even through bad quarterback play. So
also 46 targets in those 5 games, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's getting a decent target share. It's really going to come down to the target share for me. I mean, like, I don't think he's not running the routes where he's, you know, they're for the most part over the middle, you know, close to the line of scrimmage, nothing, you know, something that a young developing quarterback is looking for. So as long as he's getting the targets, and right now he's getting a lot of them, you know, by share, I think he's fine for what he is.
Yeah, I just basically echo everything Mark said. I think he's actually, barring Desmond Ridder for an extended period of time, I think he's probably going to live more in like that 15 point range. That's, like I said, kind of where he's averaging over. He missed a couple games in there due to injury, but over the last 5 games. So I think he's fine. Yeah, I mean, I would pay a late second for Myers on a contending team probably, because like you said, that's a good solid amount of points that, you know, and he's kind of probably like the, you know, 10th, 11th starter, depending on how many you have. But he's like your last flex guy, and he can still give you a bunch of points, and he's not going to cost very much.
You can look at Jacoby Myers' 6-game sample from, and this is not actually true, but I want to believe that it is. You can look at a 6-game sample from Jacoby Myers from the past 4 years, any 6 games. I would bet you that his rank is somewhere between wide receiver 28 and wide receiver 31. There is not, it does not change. It's just how it is. There's going to be one bad game in there, and everything else is going to be pretty good. Yeah. So it's I mean, he's really as rock steady as it comes, again, in that mid range, which again, when you're looking for flex plays, like that's something. And I don't want to talk for too long about it, but I actually do think the Scott Turner, Norv Turner thing, I don't think it's like amazing, but I think, you know, it's trying something. It sounded a little like worse, like as a, you know, perceptively from the media when you're saying we're bringing in this relic of Norv Turner. But if he's got a younger coach, his son, I imagine, especially if he's the lead, Norv Turner is helping out. I feel like that's just more like continuity, more than it is like just them trying to do something a little, you know, out of whack to find a retired offensive coach who was good years ago. But I kind of do think that they at least have like an idea of what they want, which, you know, hopefully will simplify the offense. Really, that's what I'm assuming they're going to be doing, is simplifying the offense. I don't know how much more simple they can make it, but, you know, do make it easier for some of these young guys that are coming in, whether it's, you know, Ridder or whoever they end up getting at quarterback, in the draft next year, probably, to sort of just help, you know, push things along and make it a little more amenable to a young developing quarterback.
Yeah. I've seen, I saw something that said like Shedeur Sanders retweets every time the Raiders lose, 'cause that's where he wants to go. So, or like says, thank God or something like that every time the Raiders lose. So who knows? So Shedeur Sanders is going to be a character if he's in Vegas. We can kind of rip through a bunch of these in a row, but Dak Prescott, hamstring injury. Jerry Jones said they're putting him on IR. I don't think they've done that officially yet. We have a Dak question later. We'll touch on that. Caleb Williams tweaked his ankle. He's apparently fine. The Panthers haven't decided on a QB for week 10. Just makes no sense to me. Like, they kept Bryce, and they're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to start him. Just makes it clown show. Joe Flacco will be the starter for the Colts for the rest of the year. I feel like we knew this. I feel like they were just telling everyone to, like, shut up after Flacco had one bad game, and everyone's like, we're not putting Richardson back in. They were sticking with, like, I feel like we knew this, but they said it again. So, Daniel Jones will remain the Giants QB. I know everyone's psyched about that. They play in Germany this week. It's going to – against the Panthers. Like, sorry, Germany, but that's just terrible. The Bengals put
suffering Giants fan, by the way.
Actually, I've gotten so desensitized at the point to this point that really any Cowboys hate is enough Giants fandom for me. So
we'll
I can just
that, Cowboys,
and yeah. I'll just be neutral to everybody else.
There's going
to
be plenty of Cowboys hate coming if I know Rocky and all the Cowboys stuff. The Bengals put both Zach Moss and Eric Gall on IR. That sucks for Eric Gall. He was starting to kind of come out, but Gesicki's on a 1-year deal, so maybe he'll come back and healthy. The Bengals traded for Khalil Herbert today, though. I don't see this totally as I don't think he's going into the same Zach Moss role. I think this is kind of Chase Brown to the moon, league winner type of guy. So I don't know if you guys disagree on that, but we don't have to spend a ton of time on this. Mark.
I think it's probably still majority touches to Chase Brown, and then Khalil works his way in. But I don't, you know, I don't feel like they, you know, the Bengals did a horrible job of platooning a committee. Honestly, I feel like the Bengals, of as far as most teams are concerned, really do give us a pretty good committee on a regular basis year after year. And you know, even before, you know, the Mixon days, I'm thinking, but like, you know, I like Chase Brown. I think he's good. I think Khalil Herbert has been underrated. I think it gives Khalil Herbert a little value, a little more value than he has right now. But
anything's better than zero.
Right. Anything's better than zero. So, but yeah, I think it's probably just Chase Brown. You can feel confident in him being like, you know, what I assume would be most likely your RB2 anyway. That's pretty rock solid.
With RB1 upside too, as he showed
exactly.
Week. Yeah.
I mean, like if you're a zero RB person and Chase Brown is your RB1, I think there's that upside there, but you're probably still, there's more to be desired if he's your one, but if he's your two, which is probably what most people are using him as at this point, I think he's a pretty big win for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the good thing about this room is I think it was definitely much more of a split with Zach Moss there. And it's definitely, I think, like you said, Frank, it's going to be a lot more 1A, 1B with Herbert. I mean, they needed to bring somebody in. They're trying to still win. And they don't have a lot of behind those two. So it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think the confidence comes from Chase Brown is in the driver's seat. Now,
yeah.
Right. Like that's you can't deny that. And I think even if the touches get split, you probably feel like in the more important parts of the game, especially in the coming weeks until Herbert really proves otherwise, that he's probably going to be in there for those.
Yep. If you guys want to play the stock market, the Bengals play the Ravens this week. So Brown could stink. So if you want his value to kind of creep down, but it's a risk because if he's great, then you're never going to get him. But, you know, if you want to take the risk, there's a chance he stinks on Thursday and then you can get him after that. So Pacheco's back in 2 to 3 weeks, kind of Thanksgiving area. I don't see how this goes back to just Pacheco being by himself. Like, I feel like Hunt's done enough where this is going to be kind of a split. So do you guys agree on that? Mark, we can start with you.
You know, I think the Chiefs, you know, over the years too, have really been able to support more than one running back. And, you know, with Pacheco, you know, they didn't put a lot of draft capital into him. The injury, you know, makes me feel kind of like, you know, why would you put so much on him, especially when they really want him for the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So I imagine during the fantasy season, yeah, it's probably going to be a committee as long as Kareem Hunt's legs hold up. So, yeah. I mean, like, I think, you know, he's an older running back. He might just run out of juice at a certain point, and you might need to lean on Pacheco a little more. But while he's running, run him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it makes sense for them to, you know, he had a major leg injury. I don't think it makes sense for them to give him a big workload. And like you said, Hunt's been really solid. So I think it could be sort of like what we were just talking about, with sort of like a more even Chase Brown, Zach Moss type split. You know, I don't know that either one will now be a super dependable starter week to week, but they'll probably both have their weeks. Whoever's getting the goal line touches might be the guy that you want.
Right.
And one of them, hey, you know, again, like the part of that committee is like, one of them still might get hurt or lose out. And, you know, it could shift a little bit from there too. But I mean, it's never bad, even if it's a committee, to have, you know, one of the Chiefs running backs like in your platoon. Yeah. You're just hoping that they would, you know, give you every week starter value.
Yeah.
And Pacheco can still do that.
Of course.
It's hard to.
Yeah. And hard, he can catch to too. He could easily be a, you know, Jet McKinnon, or take P. Ryan's role and, you know, be good at that. He can catch the ball. Yeah. 49ers have designated CMC to return this week. Thank God. Finally, all those things. We've beaten this to death, so we can move on. Audric Estime is expected to see an increased workload going forward. Who knows what that means for the Broncos running back carousel. Javonte looked not good this week. Jonathan Brooks is expected to be activated for the Giants game this week. I don't think anything's changed with the Panthers backs, right? We kind of knew this was going to happen. Chuba's played well. I think it's kind of another split, which stinks, but I think they'll be slow. Drake London, hip pointer, strained oblique. None of it's believed to be serious. Mooney's a must start if London misses time, though. I actually just include the London thing so I could say this. Darnell Mooney is wide receiver 12.
That is year. Crazy.
I don't think it's points per game. I think that's total, but like it's crazy. DK Metcalf, the Seahawks said he'll be back next week. They have their bye this week. And then AJ Brown, knee injury. Everyone says he avoided anything major. He's considered day to day. They think he's going to play this week. I doubt he misses the Cowboys game. I would be shocked. Even if he starts and goes out, but that's the news.
Okay, so got through plenty there. So that means we have our trades and our listener questions. A lot of times we throw it to the guests, but it's so lopsided that I kind of just want to do the two questions we have first, and then we can run through all these trades we got, because this is, I mentioned to the guys before the show, this is a lot of weeks we're out there in the Discord server begging people to make trades on Tuesdays, so we have a few to talk about on the show. That was not an issue this week. It's our biggest week in a while. So our first question comes from some guy, Frank, in the chat. And it was brought up on a podcast. You should be buying J.J. McCarthy in Dynasty. Because if Darnold can play like this, shouldn't J.J. play as well or better? So, Mark, what are your thoughts? Are you buying J.J. McCarthy if you're rebuilding?
If you're rebuilding, sure. I mean, worth taking a shot. I think it's hard to know after, you know, how well a quarterback, if Sam Darnold is really a poster child for anything, it's how, you know, how poorly development can go in the NFL. And I think for the most part, yeah, I mean, like you can take a look for J.J. McCarthy, but I can't consider him any sort of sure thing. I mean,
How did you feel about McCarthy coming into the league before the injury and everything?
I was not a huge fan. I was still kind of taking him about where, you know, he was still going in that like early, you know, early top five super flex sort of range for the most part, right? So, I never ended up having an opportunity to actually draft him because I usually trade my picks away, but. I don't know. I have a hard time with 1 year removed, you know, quarterback of the future. They're trying to rebuild. Like if the Vikings are like contending this year, you think they're just going to be satisfied with saying like, okay, well, let's bring in the rookie that we actually haven't ever seen do anything for us, to continue to work on, keeping us playoff relevant, right? So like the thought was this year would be the year that they develop. We have Darnold. If they could compete, they would. And then hopefully McCarthy would take over at some point. Well, now that's not really an option. And Darnold's doing fine. I don't know if he'll end up being the quarterback long term. But he's probably played himself into a nice little contract next year, wherever it ends up being. And who's to say it wouldn't be with Minnesota? So I think if they feel good about that, it's not like, you know, teams have moved on for less, you know what I mean? Like, so it makes me a little nervous, but, I don't know. What is he going for right now? Like, what are people at for the most part? Do you know what people are even asking for J.J. McCarthy? I imagine they probably still want some kind of first or something for him. And that, like, no,
I'm kind of with you. I was not a J.J. guy coming in. And we don't know what it's going to be. I tend to think you draft a guy that high, you're going to put him in when he's healthy. And I mean, they could look at this as we won with Sam Darnold, like kind of what Frank's saying, that we won with Sam Darnold. We can, you know, this guy has a good cast around him. We just went to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. So I do think there's a decent chance he is the starter next year, but an injury for the year does not change any of my priors, and I was not really interested in spending that first-round pick on McCarthy where I had it in the draft. And like you said, I think you still have to spend a first-round pick. I don't think anybody who drafted him is going to now all of a sudden sell him for a second for some reason or 2 seconds or something like that. So, yeah, right. I'm kind of with you. But, Frank, how do you answer your own question since you're here?
I think it honestly depends on what you need, right? Because the 2025 draft is not, this upcoming one is not going to be some QB masterclass. Like it's Sanders and Ewers, and Beck is starting to slide after how he's been playing, but it's going to be very skill position heavy, super heavy running backs. Like everyone's calling this is the class that takes out all the old running backs. So I think if you need a quarterback kind of long term, which, you know, it's hard to do or say because we don't, you know, set lineups for next year. But I think it really just depends on what you need. But I didn't like J.J. coming in. I watched him a lot at Michigan, and I wasn't impressed. I think he won based on talent around him. And I don't know. I think if Darnold takes him far enough, there's a chance they bring him back and he can just stay the starter. Yeah, like, you know, we've asked this question before. How far do they have to go to not have JJ come in and take it? And I still don't know the answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But let's get to the second question, which is also quarterback-centric from at DFF underscore S Jonathan 02 on Twitter. What do you do with Dak Prescott and Anthony Richardson in Superflex Dynasty? How much has their value fallen? Both are, well, the Dak one is actually more interesting to me. To me, for I was never a big Richardson guy anyway. My one share of Anthony Richardson is on a team I co-managed that Scott Sidlow forced me to draft him. And this is kind of what I expected. I didn't necessarily think he'd be benched in his second year for poor performance, but I did not expect, you know, we all saw what he did in college. He was not a great passer. The hope was that that would develop, and it doesn't seem to be doing so. So, I think this value has fallen a ton. I mean, you're benched for, what, 42-year-old Joe Flacco, whatever the hell he is at this point. And they're already saying, like, it was a minor news note at the top of the show, but, like, Anthony Richardson is not coming back. Flacco was our starter for the rest of the year. That's how bad he's been. So, it's like, how can you depend on him not just being Trey Lance at this point? You know what I mean? Like, he may, for all we know, he may never start another game again. I know, Frank. But I can accept reality at this point, Frank. I was at one point.
He's going to start for the Cowboys, and you're going to have to root for that, which is going to be hilarious.
It's hilarious if it's this week, too, because they're playing.
Yeah, the right. But, I think they announced Rush already.
Now, I was never that huge of a Lance guy, as you made me out to be, Frank.
I know. You just didn't.
It
like
was
Purdy.
Just more Lance over Purdy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been proven wrong, clearly. Yes. But seriously, for all we know, he doesn't ever start another game again. I mean, he did not show a lot in his time. You know, he was hurt a lot last year, obviously, but he did not show a lot, and he had a poor passing career in college, and the idea was that he was supposed to develop, and he's not doing it in a year and a half, and a lot of times guys don't get a chance after that. I'm sure he'll bounce around and stay in the league a long time. I'm not sure he's ever a guaranteed starter again.
Yeah, I think part of it, you know, like that him taking off a play because he was tired thing that came through. Like,
and he got caught yawning on the sidelines on the broadcast.
If you're one of those high T coaches, that sounds like, you know, like you're quitting on my team for one play. And that, you know what I mean? Do you remember the time there was like one game where who was it that Jay Cutler I think benched himself at the half because he had like hurt. Isn't this what happened? He like benched himself at the half because he got hurt, and he felt like, and then he said it to the media like later. He goes, "Well, I probably could have played, but I was
that was
a little
the
hurt."
Packers playoff game. Yeah,
right. Yeah, right. So that's, I mean, that's for a veteran Jay Cutler, and I'm pretty sure he was gone. Right, like after, like he was gone the next year, if I remember correctly. So, like, I don't think coaches like hearing that they want to just take a rest on a play, like especially your quarterback. You're the leader of the team, and for what it's worth, I think that this Richardson or Flacco's our starter forever is like Flacco's their starter until we're out of contention, and then Richardson will probably clean up a couple games in week 16 and 17, 18, and maybe he'll be a fantasy. He may be a fantasy league winner for all we know. Week 17 and 18 when the Colts are finally out of it, but like,
and they beat the Jaguars or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Right, right. So, and hurt their pick that might be able to draft them a better quarterback. Yeah. All that stuff. Anyway, I think for the most part, I'm not pursuing a trade for Anthony Richardson while I can, in my, you know, redraft leagues for the most part, I'm trying to move on. Or find waiver options, which are hard in Superflex. But you know, it's hard to really put people are gonna want picks and like good players for Anthony Richardson. Like they've invested a lot in this guy. And so when I see that, you know, I can't just, you know, put extra, all these extra picks toward a guy that I don't know if he's going to play well or not, you know, like, or if he's going to play again, like Rocky said, like that, who knows how it goes.
I wouldn't even send a single first for Richardson.
Right. I would not want to do that. And I don't think the person who's selling them would want to take less.
Everyone's stuck with him. It sounds like no one's going to want to sell him for less than a first, but no one's going to want to send a first for him. So unless you have
talked about in these trade streets is there's like a firewall for a lot of these trades, right?
For sure.
Like, there are plenty of like, I won't take more than this. I won't take less than this. And like, it's like, okay, well, what are we doing here? You know,
Well, and Russ and I were talking about this last week because I think this question came up along the way. But, like, where does he even go? Like, where's the spot for him? Like, I came up with, like, maybe he's a Taysom Hill, but so many people can do that. And, like, you know, I thought about Philly to be their backup, but they have Pickett, so they're not going to do that. Like, where does he even go? Does he sit behind Jaden Daniels? I mean, there's nowhere to send him. Like, even if the Colts wanted to get rid of him.
What about Miami? What do you think?
I thought about that. I did say that because him throwing to Tyreek would be great, but he can't throw the ball accurately. So Tyreek's just going to have to run under it somewhere, like, which he can do. But yeah, that's the problem with Richardson is I don't. And the Colts are weird, right? Because the Colts for the last 4 years are like perpetually contending. Like, they went to Phillip Rivers, to Matt Ryan, to Joe Flacco, to who'd they have last, Minshew. And, like, they don't want to do the rebuild when they should do the rebuild. It's, like, the weirdest, they never want to do it. And I don't know if that's an Ursay thing or what it is, but they never want to rebuild. And the right thing to do would be to give Richardson games and just let him suck and see what you got.
To be fair, I think last year they were willing to do the rebuild, obviously, when they drafted him, you know, they were willing to, at the very least, you know, like, see developmentally how that season would go. Everyone got super hyped up, and then Anthony Richardson got hurt, leading to Gardner Minshew. But, yeah, this year it definitely felt like, yeah, we're competing for, we're trying to compete for a playoff spot, and, you know, there's expectations. You know, you had two good games, and people are, you know, gonna vouch for you off those two games whether you like it or not, and so now there's expectations for you to perform. And you know, especially when you're hurt, you're a guy who's a year out of playing NFL football. You've had a few snaps, but, like, you know, getting back to that game speed, you know, is hard once the season comes around. So, you know, it's hard to know what's going on with him, and again, like, little smaller things have derailed a career, right? So like, it, you know, it's a hard spot for right now to want to go after Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
So what about the Dak side of this question? I don't really.
How about I start before the two people kick him in the teeth?
I'm not sure what to make of Dak, like, at this point.
Dak will always be perpetually undervalued, and this just helps that. And I actually made a trade today, I think in Junkies, where I traded Love and Tua for Dak, Rashee Rice in a second. So let's just start that. Which side would you rather have? I hate Love, though. I just never have liked him.
I mean, we're obviously talking next year.
My team's, you know, rebuilding.
I mean, I kind of like that. You know, you got to worry about Tua a little bit.
I traded away Love and Tua for Dak Rice in a second.
I mean, like, Dak next year, I feel fine about him.
Right.
I kind of feel like, for the most part, you know, obviously no one's going to pony up like a first round pick right now. Like, in a it's going to have to be a package deal for players, I feel like, for the most part. I don't think anyone's going to be willing to say, like, yeah, I'm going to give you my first round pick for a hurt Dak who's not going to play this year. You're mostly going to be going to those rebuilders, right? So I think it's going to have to be a package of players, you know, maybe some, you know, some decent, you know, wide receiver in there, like you said, or, anything like that. But I do kind of like the return there for, it was Rasheed and Dak in a second, and then Tua and Jordan Love. I think, you know, you're looking at Jordan Love as the biggest piece there. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
and I hate Love. I'd rather have Dak personally.
So there you go. I think that's fine. I like they're right now they're in a comparable kind of area to me that like it's not, you know, especially if again you're looking at next year, it's not going to be you know, a huge loss for me. So I think honestly it's probably a pretty good trade.
I think before and Rocky, I'll let you go after. I think this is a lost season for the Cowboys. I think that because Lamb had an AC joint injury and they're like, he's playing week 10 against the Eagles. And then they put Dak on IR and they're like, well, I don't know. He's week to week. It sounds like they're going to be super cautious now, like with everyone. And this might just be.
That's fine by me. You can sit.
Yeah, right. A lost season. Yeah, the Eagles are going to, you know, bet the Eagles. I think this is a lost season and they're probably going to fire McCarthy and God willing, it's going to be Belichick and some, you know, monster group of coordinators he's going to bring with him, but probably so McDaniels.
You don't think Jonathan Mingo is going to light up the offense?
Yeah, I had that in the news. I'm like, that'll fix it. That was so weird. He's like, Jerry went on the radio this morning and he's like, we're going to make a big move for a receiver. And everyone's like, oh, it's like T. Higgins or DK Metcalf. It's like, no, it's Jonathan Mingo for a fourth. It's just so frustrating. But yeah, I think this is a lost season. I actually said, and we can go back to Dak in a second. If you could get a Lamb level return, would you do it?
Well, I'm sorry, you cut out for a second for me.
If you could get a Lamb level return for CeeDee Lamb right now, would you do it? Just get out.
Like a full
preseason. Yeah. If you get a full Lamb level return, would you take it?
Probably, yeah. I mean, not that again this year if you're contending, I mean, it's hard to, you know, to necessarily want to keep CeeDee Lamb. I don't think you can do that. But like again, if you think your season's kind of going that direction, like and someone's willing to give it to you, I think you got to take it. Because it's probably way more like honestly we look at these wide receivers every year. We have five or six that we really like, and a couple of them, you know, fall a little further back than they should. And then you have somebody like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson who fell to the back of the pack, who are now showing that they're the wide receiver one. So I mean, if you're still able to get like that, you know, that kind of level package deal for CD after, you know, he's taken a hit and he's got the injury, like go with God and do it.
Yep.
I think I would rather with the Lamb part. I would rather still hold Lamb, even though I'm contending. He's still been, he's still been fine this year. He's not going to have Dak the rest of the year. But I mean, we are talking. I don't even know if it's the rest of the year. I know
four games, but they're going to be dead in the water by the time he comes so they back. I don't think they'll rush him back.
Yeah. But he's going to be missing Dak a lot of the time, and he might not be great. But Dak wasn't great most of this year. Try Lance or Cooper Rush or whoever could be considered.
He's done fine with Rush in the past when Dak had, like, his ankle
fall apart. I just think he's so talented. I would rather still just hold. Even if I'm contending, I think you're still going to get – you may not get what you were expecting from CeeDee Lamb, but I think he's still going to be great. I mean, this is also not average points per game, but on the season, he's wide receiver 4 total points.
How much of that was 2 weeks ago, though, when he did 42 or whatever? I mean,
but he's been consistently solid beyond that.
Yeah, of course.
14, 19, there's a 9 in there, 23, 11, 16. Yeah, so it's not like he hasn't been like, oh my God, wide receiver 1, CeeDee Lamb, besides that 40-point game. But
right.
But he's been still very good, and that's with Dak not being very good and with not a lot of weapons around him. Even Ferguson was hurt for a couple games, and that's basically the only other option they have there. You got to think maybe they do get a T. Higgins or something next year or some free agent receiver to maybe pair with him. And that would help him out, I think. So, like, you know, there's not so much attention. There's always going to be a lot of attention on CeeDee Lamb, but at least somebody to help, you know, he doesn't get triple covered all the time or something. So, yeah, I still like CeeDee Lamb. The Dak thing is like what was interesting to me. And I don't know how to value. Like you said, he has been always undervalued, but this year he was undervalued and deserved to be. So yeah. I'm not sure. It's going to probably depend a lot what they do this offseason. And I mean, I don't know how to value Dak. I'll be honest with you. I just don't. I felt like what you said at the beginning of this, that's how I felt for years about Dak, that he was a guy that people just didn't like for whatever reason, but would always produce more than what people would kind of think of him. But if they don't improve the offense, and I'm sure that, you know, the running back situation doesn't help either. Like, you know, it's not like Dowdle and Zeke and Dalvin Cook have been lighting the world on fire, helping Dak out. So I think we need to, excuse me. I think we need to see what they do. I would probably not be looking to buy Dak right now until I see what the Cowboys do this offseason. And yes, that might make his price go up if it's something significant, but he scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of scary, especially because like really like what Dak would benefit most from for the longest time was just a stellar offensive line, which the Cowboys just don't have anymore. I'm not saying it's like the worst one in the league, but I mean, like, it's not really even below middle of the pack, you know? And with
what's funny was when they were good, he was more mobile too. And he's lost a lot of mobility over the years, especially after that ankle injury.
Right. So I feel like, you know, we're kind of like straying further away from like the area that kind of can be like what successful Dak would look like. And I'm not saying that he would be a bad asset. And especially, I mean, it's a super flex league. I'm sure he'll be able to be your quarterback two at worst for a while still going forward, as long as he's healthy. But, you know, like it's. For me right now, I feel like if you can get a good haul on him, where someone thinks like, oh yeah, I'm buying low, and at the very least, if you feel like you have like enough quarterback stability, that, you know, you can't not consider it at least, because there's a lot of unknown, and when have we ever, you know, been willing to you know, trust in Jerry to fix the mistakes of the Cowboys? So like I, you know. He did a great job drafting CeeDee Lamb. He got Dak at a pretty low draft cost when he came out. But I mean, like, I can't see them necessarily being in a spot. I don't think their cap gets much better next year. They're not in a great cap situation, and you know, I think there's a lot of problems with this team. They don't have another wide receiver. They're trading for guys who, if we were dynasty players and someone asked, you know, and somebody asked for Jonathan Mingo, like nobody's saying yes to that anymore. Like Jonathan Mingo's cut in most dynasty leagues. And this was like a real, like dynasty players all over probably watch that trade and are like, what are you doing, bro? Like what happened there?
Yeah.
Great. You got him for cheaper than he costs it on draft day, but like, that doesn't matter. He's irrelevant. So like, yeah. Maybe they see something great. Okay. I don't really tend to buy that.
Yeah. Last real thing quick on the Cowboys real quick is, all the mocks have them taking, Genty, who's the running back from Boise State, who's a Heisman finalist. So that would certainly help a lot of things if they actually have him next year.
It always feels like to me, though, the team that we absolutely expect to take one of the top running backs never takes one of the top running backs.
You mean like the Falcons? Or not the Falcons. Who did it a couple years ago? Never mind. Continue. I forgot.
I actually think the Cowboys are doing not the worst thing here. Honestly, I think they try to do the zero RB thing a little bit right this year. Mm-hmm. Because again, they have no money. They really can't. I mean, like, they're signing Dalvin Cook and hoping that he's going to be their savior. Like it's not, you know, it's not really going to work out if they're willing to like completely not spend at the position. And you know, like, guys, if the guys are at the end of the career, that's what's going to happen. But again, I still feel like the offensive line, you know, is going to have, you know, going to be a problem there, that even if you get a good running back, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be the reason that your offense is fixed. Because again, The Zeke thing worked because their offensive line was the best in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Saquon thing didn't work because the offensive line of the Giants was trash, and they still drafted a running back at two. So, you know, you could see it work a bunch of different ways. And, you know, if the O-line sucks, the O-line sucks. And for the most part, you're going to have problems if that's the case on offense.
Look no further than Rocky's Eagles and seeing what a star running back can do for an offense.
Refer back to the top of the show.
Yes, exactly.
Real quick before we move on to the trades, he said, how far has your value fallen? And with the caveat that trade value and startup value are not the same thing. But I just want to do the little game we play sometimes with the DLF ADP. Dak, I'm a little surprised, was QB10 in October ADP. Dak or Caleb?
Caleb, probably.
Depends on what you need. Yeah.
I think I would go Caleb there.
I think if you're buying, you're rebuilding if you're buying Dak right now. So if that's the case, I'm buying Caleb over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dak or Purdy?
Purdy.
Dak.
I'm a big Purdy fan though, so that's
So am I. But
that
I
one's
still
tough
take Dak.
For me.
I know.
Dak or Trey Lance, Rocky.
Dak. Funny thing is, a QB13 is Anthony Richardson.
Dak or, there for sure.
Dak or Herbert.
Dak. Still.
So it sounds like to you guys,
I kind of think I might take Herbert there. Actually, I would.
But
that's
my point, though. Is people are there's a lot of people who are going to put Dak behind all those people. So if you can do that and get Dak,
QB15 is Trevor Lawrence.
See, give me Dak too.
Dak there.
Yeah,
but people, I don't think everyone's going to be on that boat. I think people are going to think Lawrence is going to fix this.
Yeah, but in my mind, as I'm thinking it, the player that owns Dak probably is, at this point, is one who already knows that Dak is underrated, and I don't think you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel
yes
like,
and no. I think you get some people who get, like, Dak in, like, a dispersal and don't like it. And
that's fair. No, you're right. That's totally fair. But at the same time, it's hard to see people sell for less. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are a bunch of yappers here because we are almost an hour into the show and haven't gotten to the
2-hour show.
I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
There's nothing else going on tonight, right?
No, nothing on this fine Tuesday evening, just this. Reminder, all TA leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex with 1.75 tight end premium. And 0.05 per return yard, except for TA1, and there's no TA1 trade, so you don't have to worry about that. So let's start with let me jump to this TA3 because this is a lot of times we take off little small trades and for more significant trades. But I wanted to throw this on here just to kind of talk about what's the value of these like veteran backups that are coming in and taking over in certain spots. So we had two separate exact trades, obviously different picks, in TA3 of Flacco and a 26 third for a 26 second, and Winston and a 26 third for a 26 second. And in one of the other leagues, I didn't put it on here because it was similar to these and it's a small trade, but we also had Flacco for a third in another one. So obviously you'd prefer Flacco for a third, but are you paying? Are you doing the third for a second? Or are you only going for a guy like that if you can get him for less than a second?
Go ahead, Mark.
Maybe more willing for Winston than for Flacco. You know, here's the problem. You know, in super flex leagues, if you're quarterback desperate to the point where you are looking and seeking out Winston or Flacco at this point, you're kind of beholden to whatever the person who has them wants to ask for. And obviously you're not getting a first, you're not getting something crazy for them. But I mean, this is kind of like equal-ish to that third for me, you know, if it's a 25 third, if it's a 24, if it's two 24 fourths, if it's a 26 second for a 26 third, like it's all kind of comes out in the wash a little bit to me. That, you know, if you need it, fine. you know, I have Flacco and Winston, and I'm trying to trade them in a couple leagues, and I would be happy to take this if I were that owner. And I feel like if you need the start, like especially if you're contending and it's like, oh, I don't have a second quarterback for this week and I need something, are you really going to say no to that? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I would, but I tend to not.
You don't have any picks to trade, though.
Well, I'm actually the Flacco for a 26th third in the other
week. Okay, because this is funny, because this is exactly what I was going to say. This trade feels like the contender that doesn't have his 25 picks already, so he's trading his 26 picks now, like, away.
Yeah.
So
I think mine was a 25th third that I gave up, so maybe it's sort of equivalent. I don't know, but... but yeah, he offered it as a third for a second and I refused it and rejected it and said it the other way. I think in that league, I can't remember. I believe it's TA10 and I don't want to take too long, finding that. I think I may have an injured quarterback there, that I think is not out for the year. I can't remember. So I maybe or it might be like a Daniel Jones type or something like that, where he figured I would want another quarterback. So I figured why not for a third, but I wasn't willing to do the upgrade thing. But I totally get it, especially 26th, third, and second. You can get that back within a year and a half anyway if you want to. So if you're contending, despite this week, I still kind of like both of these guys, even though neither of them had very good weeks this week. I still think both of them.
Jameis actually garbage-timed himself into something half-decent, I think.
That's true. And, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that worries me, like, you obviously can't count on them as, like, week in, week out QB. I mean, like, if they're a platoon for you, that's fine. But, like, I think both of these guys have a chance to not be the starter by the end of the year. Again, we talked about Flacco. Yes, he'll be the starter for the rest of the contending games that they're playing. But I can see them still saying, hey, let's see if we can give Anthony these last couple games if we're out of it. I could see Jameis, you know, I could see them going to a younger developmental quarterback. Jameis last week, and like you know it's there at any given time, and he might have good games in between now and when he does eventually get benched, but he usually does go back down right eventually. Yeah. So
that was part of my issue with the third for a second thing too, is that I didn't want to give up a second, even a 26th second, because I don't feel confident that Flacco is absolutely, even though they said it, that he's absolutely the start of the rest of the year. I'd be more, if for some reason I felt more certain of that, I would be like, if Richardson was out for the year because he got injured or something, I'd feel better about giving up a second or upgrading a third to a second in that case.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. Winston's going to win themselves right out of a good QB pick, and they're going to have to keep him because he's going to win too many games.
And by the way, I was right. I was Daniel Jones there. I also happen to have Desmond Ritter on that roster. So now I'm
multiple QBs. Let's go.
I've got a contract league that I've got Burrow and Allen, and they both have a week 12 bye, and all I have is Ritter. So I'm like, oh God.
There you go.
I'm like literally picking up any backup, even third string quarterbacks. Tommy DeVito, get on my roster. You know, anybody who can make it happen for me just that one week. I feel like I'm in a good spot otherwise, but like, geez, oh man, that's a tough one.
I'm sure Mark's gonna agree, but start all your Giants this week, because if there is anything the Giants do well, it's beating a bad team to crush their draft picks. They do it every year. So they're gonna win this game and a couple more to get themselves to the 11th pick and out of a QB. Spots.
That's why they're keeping Daniel in. It's like, yeah, keep him in there. We can't put Tommy DeVito in here because he'll try to win one of these games.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna hop around again because we actually have a couple other Winston treats where it's not just for Winston. So the first one is from TA4. Winston, Chase Brown, Cedric Tillman, and a 25-second. For Jaden Reed. We've mostly thrown most of the questions to Mark first. So Frank, I'm going to throw it to you first this time.
This is a huge overpay for me. And this is someone, you know, who all the Packers receivers are interchangeable. I think we liked Jaden Reed a lot, and I think he's probably still the best one. But one of the things we talked about at the beginning of the season is the Packers receivers are all going to be good, and you have no idea which one's going to be like the superstar for the week. I think when you look at all these other pieces, like Chase Brown in a second might be worth Jaden Reed right now. And then he got Jameis and Tillman stack on top of it. So I like the package side this time, just because I think all the Packers receivers are the same. But again, and this has actually nothing to do with the Bears. I just don't like the Packers offense. I think it's all over the place.
What about you,
Mark? I think this comes down to, do you think like Cedric Tillman is like the real deal going forward? Like if next year he doesn't have that Dante Pettis kind of year where he's, you know, where he has a good year, he's efficient, you know, he's playing with a guy like if Jameis goes
twice
away,
the size of Dante Pettis, that's a good start.
I'm just comparable, like kind of performances where they have kind of a flash one, you know, 6 week window where they're good. And then like, we're all hyping them up next year because we think that they're relevant. And then they just kind of like, you know, crap the bed on us. So like,
yeah,
if you think that he's legit, possibly, you also have to imagine that the Browns have a different quarterback next year, probably. Mm-hmm. So that's something else to consider. So I think if you are like this, to me, looks like, okay, I'm going to give you Jaden Reed. This probably I'm a contending team. I'm going to give you Jaden Reed. I need a bunch of pieces to kind of like fill the rest of the season for me. I mean, I really don't know the context, but if you're a rebuilder getting the Reed side, I don't think that's necessarily bad. I don't care about a 25 second as much. Chase Brown is that best asset, and he should have a pretty good, you know, finish to the year. But I'll take a receiver asset. I think that's way more tradable going forward. And you can use that, you know, you can use that as a piece, you know, in the off season that people will covet. And you could probably get this. You could probably get this any old day or more, you know, if you have the right player or the right person, because he has been good this year. He has. And there is, because he's a second year player, there is room for more of an ascension if you're optimistic about it.
I agree with Frank on this one on the package side, but I do think it's closer than Frank. I don't think it's a big overpay because I do like Reed, I think, more than Frank does. But you're also getting like a pick and multiple younger assets back in the deal too, which I think helps a lot. And you know, and two guys that are sort of on the upswing in the recent weeks, which I feel like maybe it makes a big difference here with Chase Brown and Cedric Tillman. Like you say, a lot of it's do you believe, but he's looked really good these past few weeks with Tillman. And given that everything else you're getting, I think I'm okay with sending Reed for that. Because like you said, he can be up and down, just like a lot of the Packers. I definitely agree that he is the best of the bunch. Consistency, I think, is a little bit of an issue with him. And because like we said, I mean, they can, you know, there can be, there some weeks there'll be a Dobbs week. Occasionally there might even be like a Wicks week or something. So I think I would take the package, especially if I'm contending and you're getting a decent amount of potential points there. Like I said, with those two guys, especially with Brown now being probably thrust into a bigger role. So I lean the package there. The other Jameis Winston trade was a little smaller. Jameis Winston and Trey Sermon for 25 seconds. To me, I want to see what Frank is shaking his head. What are you saying?
I don't mean it like this, but like who cares, right?
Yeah.
The Jonathan Taylor manager needed his handcuff and Jameis Winston. Is how I read this.
I was basically just wondering if you're willing to give up the second for, because we were talking about thirds for Winston, third upgraded to a second. Mm-hmm. Are you willing? I wouldn't expect Trey Sermon to make a huge difference there, but. Right. That's the only reason I threw it on here is if you're contending, are you willing to go pure second?
I wouldn't, because the schedule is dog shit to the rest of the rest of the year. He plays like the Steelers twice. He plays the Saints next week, and then it's just a nightmare after that. So no, I would not.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, not a huge fan of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just seems like too much.
Yeah, I don't think we just dwell on that one too much. I just wanted to see, that's why I threw it on, just to get your take about doing it. And I, like I said, I don't think Sermon made a huge difference. But we have more Chase Brown as we hop back to TA2. Chase Brown and Tyler Lockett for Stephon Diggs and Rashid Shaheed. And this was made since last Tuesday, so Stephon Diggs was already hurt. This is a rebuilding type trade. And I guess they're hoping for Diggs to, recover and have value, I guess, after this offseason, and they can sell him. But what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I like the Chase side better. It would be nice if you could, even if it was a third, like just get an extra pick back. Maybe on the Diggs Shaheed side. I don't know if you're getting more than a third, maybe two thirds or something like that. I think if you did it with a third or two in there, it might look a little better. But when you're rebuilding, you're taking on some of these guys. I think Shaheed is a good player. Diggs, you might get some value, but it's hard to tell, really. I still think Chase Brown is probably the best dynasty asset of the bunch there. So it's like you're rebuilding, but you're throwing away a good piece because you have, because you don't, you're tanking. Probably want better draft pick that you have control of, right? And then, okay, you're losing the points, but really, you're losing Chase Brown, which might, we don't know what Chase Brown quite yet. He's having a good season. He could go in and be their, their semi bell cow next year. I'm not saying he will be, but I'm saying we're not really sure of what that is. We're not sure also when Diggs and Shaheed are going to be back to the field. So you'd want a little something. I feel like you want a little draft capital or something to just sweeten that deal just a little bit more. But I understand it. And if that's how you feel like you want to keep those receivers, that's fine with me.
I definitely agree with you. I would want the Brown side. Even if I'm rebuilding and wanting to get rid of points, I've never been a big fan of shedding points just for the purpose of shedding points anyway. No. I don't like taking on I know Diggs is not going to score you points, but he's not going to gain value. He may gain value from right this very second where he's hurt and old, into the non-point scoring season where he's just old. But I don't like the idea of even trying to make that work and flip him later. As the second, a guy like Stephon Diggs isn't scoring points, including into the offseason, he loses value. You can get more if Diggs was Diggs now playing. He'd be significantly more than whatever you're going to get 6 months from now anyway. So I do like,
if you're not willing to accept a third for him, in the off season, he's probably dying on your roster. Yeah. And you might be fine with that, but it's a far cry to say this guy who's over, is he 31? I think he's 31 now, right?
Yeah.
He's 31.
So. Yep.
He's coming off of his second injured year he's been injured twice in 3 years. Is that right? Had the ACL this year, which is, obviously, players have come back from it, but how often are guys in their late 30s recovering from an ACL and still being the player that they were back then? It's not really likely to happen that you're getting that top tier value that's going to render a second for an older player. So you're kind of giving up Diggs that Diggs is either dying on your roster or he's a third. And that's just again, while he's injured, that's a hard bet to want to make.
Yeah. Diggs turns 31 in a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
And even Shaheed, he's a nice player and he was looking good this year. But major injury and
what is that offense going to be?
Upside of his quarterback situation is probably maintaining Derek Carr. I don't know that they're, you know, like we talked about earlier too, even if they have a high pick, are any of these quarterbacks all that great? Like, we don't, you know, it's not a great quarterback class. So, what's he going to have? And, you know, this was the first year he was really doing it consistently too. He'd shown flashes in the past, and who knows if they don't draft somebody next year or bring in another wide receiver that has more pedigree than Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. Or just a rookie quarterback who can't fulfill sustaining a target share for Rashid Shaheed. I mean, who knows what Olave is? We already talked about that off the top of the show, but I mean, like, what if this is just an offensive mess where everybody's kind of like, where the target share is really not well defined by the end? I don't think Rashid Shaheed on a normal basis is going to be like the first look on the target tree. And so, yeah, you could see another wide receiver. You could see, again, a rookie quarterback. And that's all, you know, like with these trades, like you're willing to give up players. But like, if you don't have security within the players that you're getting back, it's really tough to want to feel good about trading away an asset that, again, like Chase Brown, there's nothing real. He's healthy, which is, you know, usually the running back's issue. But like, he's pretty much in the clear to be, you know, on this Bengals team for at least next year. And that, you can't say that really about either of these guys that you're feeling like, oh yeah, this is consistent value I'm going to get. We don't even know what their status will be for the beginning. Like, if they start on the pup, you're going to start feeling like, man, I really shouldn't have done this. You know what I mean?
Yep. Anything to add, Frank? You've been kind of interjecting here and there anyway.
So. No, sorry. Okay. But I know I do that too much. But no, not really.
Yeah, okay.
I think the coach will decide a lot with New Orleans.
Okay, so we jump to TA6. Straight up one for one. Nick Chubb for Chris Godwin. Frank, I'm going to let you chime in on this one first.
I think, you know, it depends, right? I struggle with this because Godwin is now what is deemed as a rebuilding piece, but he's not rebuilding age. But he's signed for a while, and so is Baker, so you know the offense is going to kind of stay all together. I think I take the Chubb side, but the schedule scares me a lot. I just for context, since I said it before, they play the Steelers, the Broncos, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Ravens to finish the year. So their schedule is awful.
Yeah, that's not great in terms of defenses and in terms of the fact they're going to be losing a lot of those games.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Playing Steelers, Broncos, Steelers, Chiefs for the next 4 weeks. Yeah. That's after the Saints. Sorry. They play the Saints next week and then they do that. But, probably Godwin, but like, you have no idea. Like, they said he's going to come back like for the playoffs if they make it. Dak was out for like what felt like a year when he did this same thing. So I don't know. I would probably take Godwin, but I don't think I would do this trade in its entirety, like basically.
Yeah, this is kind of like a really bad Sophie's choice between these two players, to be honest. Like, I honestly love both of these players. I've long been a Nick Chubb lover. I've got him on a few dynasty teams, just, you know, and I've got plenty of Godwin as well. And I feel like the Godwin thing is kind of like, well, a lot of players didn't. I think Godwin kind of took a dip last offseason that he kind of proved some doubters wrong this year before he got hurt. And I feel like there's that feeling of like, okay, yeah, he is on the older side, but because he's kind of like proved himself a little bit early on, I think like he's got this like a little bit of an extra inflation on his price, but I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. He could be healthy for the beginning of the year next year, and he could be a contributor for sure. And I think on that alone, that probably makes me like more willing to take him over Nick Chubb. But I kind of just feel like this is a no. Like if I'm the Chubb side, it's probably a no. And if I'm on the Godwin side, it's probably a no.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. It's a weird trade. But if I'm looking at it, I think it basically comes down to both are turning 29 this offseason. And Chubb just came off a major injury. Godwin will be coming off a major injury. Give me the 29-year-old receiver over the 29-year-old running back. That's basically what it comes down to me.
That's pretty much, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another TA6 trade. This was kind of a weird one to me, too. Xavier Leggett for Travis Jordan, who, by the way, I had to look up who that was. Well, not look up, but I saw in the thing, it said, I did not remember him at all. And Jalen Wright. So,
is this Jordan Travis or Travis? I don't know who Travis Jordan is.
Yeah, I thought this is a
maybe
Debbie
I wrote
trade,
it backwards.
Yeah. Jordan Travis, the QB, right?
Yes, I wrote okay. It backwards. Yeah. I was dyslexic for a moment, I guess. I don't
know. It's
okay. Know. Sorry.
I didn't know who Travis Jordan was.
Yeah. But I didn't remember. I remembered it, you know, once I saw Jets quarterback. Yeah, but I did not remember. If I had just saw Jordan Travis, I would not have remembered who that was. But anyway, I'm sure Frank would, because Frank knows everybody. But
he was my sleeper in the draft.
Okay.
My fourth round pick.
I think so. I may have remember you mentioning that at some point on the podcast. But anyway, Mark, Xavier Leggett for Jordan Travis. No, maybe it's for Travis. No, Jordan Travis and Jalen Wright.
What who does Jordan Travis even play for? I have no idea, to be honest. Like, should I know?
Yes,
I didn't.
So he's like third string behind.
The only reason I knew it because I was writing the trade down from the thing, and it says NYJQB next to it. So
okay, so he's like third string behind Tyrod Taylor or whatever right now. I imagine. Okay, so
but he's by himself. Leaves. That was my whole spiel at the beginning of the year. If Rodgers leaves and Tyrod's on a 1-year deal, he's by himself.
Well,
he was
the
finalist quarterback.
So basically, like what we're saying is like Rodgers is like straight up like quitting the season this year at a certain point, and then we're hoping that he'll get a few starts here at the end, because I imagine.
No, my thing was quitting after the season, and then he'd get this shot.
That's fair, I suppose, but like what. Is Leggett really like? Do you have that low of an opinion of Leggett that's all you're going for? Is George? Because I don't think Jalen Wright might be all right, but I don't know if he's shown that much yet. That I'm like I'm willing to say like I'm buying this. Like I feel like you're trading up a guy who's, you know, he's not quite yet a stud, but he's you know, he's a producing wide receiver, and they seem to be willing to, you know, invest in him, whether it's Bryce Young or another quarterback going forward. I can't imagine that Jordan Travis is like in the Jets long-term. I can't imagine that they drafted Jordan Travis more than like, all right, we need a third guy. And, you know, it wouldn't be bad if we had a young guy on this roster that if something goes wrong, we could take a look at him because something went wrong last year. But I don't know if I'm like really, I mean, like it's, that's, I mean, that's a big, like, Leggett looks like a stud in this trade to me because of the value that you're getting back. I think you can get more for Leggett than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my thought when I saw this, that this was so easy. And I'm not even a Leggett guy, but this was so easily Xavier Leggett to me. Just because what have the two others done? What even big pedigree do they have? Like, correct me wrong. Leggett was drafted late first round.
He was the last.
He was the first
at the first round.
Yeah. So you're talking about a first round draft pick, and it's not like he's done nothing this year. He's had some games where he's produced for fantasy. You know, getting a touchdown here and there. So in a horrible offensive environment right now, pretty much. So. Yeah, I mean, again, not that I think Leggett's going to be a stud, but this was just easy Leggett to me, and that's, you know, it's not a major trade, but I just was, it, I was trying to figure out the logic behind it.
I don't want to beat this to death, but what if you add Troy Franklin to the other side, to the Jordan Travis side? You know, another receiver who's shown some things, but not, you know.
I'd definitely say that's more fair. Again, right. I would think Jordan Travis is still pretty irrelevant in the equation.
That's the weird part to me too, is why he was even included in this trade.
He think Rodgers is really going to quit.
Feel like this is just like you taking on an extra bench, like losing a bench spot while getting Jalen Wright, which just seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll hop to TA7, a couple of rebuilding trades, players for picks. Frank, Josh Downs and Brian Robinson, or 25 first and 2/3, 1 in 25, 1 in 26.
Where's the first?
Both of these are contending teams, yeah. And it's their own picks, I believe.
I probably take the picks just because we have no idea what Downs is going to be after this year. And we don't really know what Downs is going to be this year. Like, we think he's going to be great because Flacco's liked him these past couple weeks, but Robinson is an RB2 with RB2 upside. And Downs, who knows? I would probably take the picks if we just knew somehow crystal ball that Downs was going to be the one, I would do Downs, but we don't know that.
Who do we think the best, do we think he, at this point, Downs is the best receiver on the Colts? I kind of think that he,
talent wise, I think it's Pittman, but I think for that offense, it's Downs.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
which is funny because Pittman and Downs were taken like in the exact same spot in the draft, like kind of early second somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's like fair enough. I wouldn't necessarily want to pay a first for two non-first level players. You know what I mean? Like, but in, you know, if it's helping you win, like fill spots right now, I'm not gonna you know, knock you necessarily for it. Yeah, at first glance, I'd say probably the picks, but I really don't hate it that much.
Yeah, I'm kind of where Mark is. It just seems wrong to give up a first for Downs at this point, is basically what I see when I look at it. Even though I like Downs a lot, like he produced at the beginning of last year, and then when Minshew came in, a lot of it went downhill, and then he's been pretty solid this year, especially when, like you said, when Flacco starts. He's got multiple 20-point games. I was like three of them I was just looking at. So I like Downs a lot. I just don't see that he's earned a first value here. And I guess maybe Brian Robinson is carrying a little of that to get it to a first, because Brian Robinson is worth more than 2/3. So I guess that's what they were thinking, and I get that, and I get wanting to get points. So I don't think it's egregious, but I think I'm where Mark was. I lean the picks.
It feels more like a 3 seconds kind of trade than a
first and 2/3.
First and 2/3. Yeah. That's, I would say. So like, okay, great. You worked it around so you can get yourself a first. Congratulations. But it's comparable value. I would have loved it to be 3 seconds, but you know.
Okay. And the next one is me. So I'm definitely going to let you guys both chime in first. Mark, TJ Hockenson and Courtland Sutton for a 26 first, second, and third. Same team, also a contending team this year, but obviously we're talking 2 years down the road with the picks.
So I would say that I'm not a huge Hockenson fan like most others are. Not that I don't, again, in tight end premium, I think he's good and probably helps buoy this up a little bit. But I think for a team that's like contending and pushing, I think that's probably fine. Hockenson is probably going to be fresh legs. Looked pretty good in his debut. At least as far as like he looked healthy and you know, not injured anymore. You know, he looked fresh legs, ready to go. Sutton's kind of had some, had come on a little bit more this back half of the year, although I would have liked to maybe see him traded to a contender, like NFL-wise. I think you probably got to give the first. That's the problem. I wouldn't want to. When do you want to give the first? But I think getting away with a 26 is probably fair. I'd probably take the pick side just because, again, these are not players that I'm super high on right now. But again, I think it's pretty fair.
What about you, Frank?
Out of curiosity, when did you do this trade? Before or after the game?
Before.
Okay. I don't think it matters. I was just curious. I, as a contender, I would do this. I think Sutton is a little shaky because Nick's is starting to pass it around a little bit more. He's not just hyper-focused on one guy. But Hockenson is a good asset at a position where it's really starting to fade fast. We all came into the season thinking tight end was like 12 deep and it might be four. Mm-hmm. And if Hockenson's one of those four, then he's worth whatever premium you got to give.
I think the thing that still sells the player side enough for me is that it's a 26 first. And really, mm-hmm. if you have Hockenson and you're a contending team now and you're having him for like, he's still going to be contending enough that 26 first is probably going to be on the later, hopefully be on the later side for you. So I think I can stomach that pretty well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm kind of babbling here because I was trying to see what the initial offer was, but I can't find it. But I got the pick side and little context, and it probably make a little more sense. I am in a major rebuild. This team has 433 points through 9 games. So if you do the math there, that's pretty bad. So I just am tearing it all down. Hockenson just came back. Sutton was still left on the roster. I still can't find what he originally offered, but he sent an offer for Hockenson. I threw in Sutton just to try and get something for him. I looked, he was kind of a little banged up at wide receiver too, so it made some sense. I was fine getting the 26 picks because it is long term, and I already have 2 26 firsts, so I figured I'll load up in that draft. I actually don't think I have my own first this year, and this team is horrible. So, so it's like I said, very long term looking here. I'm hoping to start being good by 26, or at least looking like a good young pretty team by 26. So that's basically what it was about. And I just, I figured, I could get I wanted the first for Hockenson. If I was going to move Hockenson, I wanted to get a first down. I don't think his original offer had a first. And then I just, threw in the second and third and he went for it. It made a lot of sense to me from his end too. He's talking, picks 2 years from now for guys that'll give him some points. And then Sutton's been pretty decently consistent in terms of being like a wide receiver, high end wide receiver 3 type. Right. So someone that you can throw in if you have injuries, if you have buys. So, yeah. Now we're moving on to TA8. We're almost done here, people. I know we're 90 minutes in. We only got a few more left. But Joe Burrow and Zay Flowers for Jalen Hurts and Amari Cooper, Mark.
I like Jalen, but I kind of feel like this is easy Burrow's a side for me. I think Joe Burrow's like one of the only pocket quarterbacks that I feel like has like that floor that you're kind of like hoping to get from rushing that you're expecting to get from rushing quarterbacks. I think he's the only one that kind of like maintains a floor as a pocket guy. And Zay being the younger asset, obviously playing well in most recently, Cooper aging, there was questions about Hurts a little bit this year. I don't think that they're actually, really foundationally, like they're going to keep Jalen Hurts in probably for a long time. Like that's not really doing anything, but I feel like this is also the window. The window is not closed. It's still open because I've made pretty good trade and Howie Roseman does an excellent job. I wish he was the Giants GM, but I really do think that for the most part, like their window is like not going to stay open forever that, you know, that much longer. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I feel like Jalen Hurts and Burrow are pretty much like in that same kind of like QB 4, 5, 6 range that like it's pretty comparable to me. And then I'll just take Zay Flowers over Cooper in Dynasty.
That was exactly the way I looked at it. Basically, like Burrow is close. I would have Hurts slightly higher, but Burrow is close enough to me that the difference between Flowers and Cooper, and I'm not, I said this about somebody else, or I think like, yeah, I'm not even a big Flowers guy, but he's
right.
Obviously,
because yeah, your boy's on the same team now.
Yeah, true. Deontay. But he's been producing fairly well and had a monster game this past week for fantasy. But I mean, to me, he's easily just value wise. He's just so easily so far ahead of Cooper. So, even right. if I didn't like Flowers going forward, I could get much more for Flowers than Cooper and with a minimal, if any, downgrade at QB. So,
yeah. Does anyone know what Amari's Cooper his contract looks like? Is he going to be on the bill?
I think he's done after, I think this is a rental for them, but I'll look.
That's kind of what I thought. I haven't actually looked at his contract, but. It's probably close to ending.
Sorry. And then we're down to our last two almost identical trades, one from TA8, one from TA9, one of which was also me. Travis Kelce for 25 first, basically. One of them had a third attached to Kelce. So obviously, no matter what you think, you must like that one better because you're getting a free third. But
right.
But what do you think? Basically, what do you think about Kelce for 20? And I think both of these, it's probably clear it's a contending 25 firsts.
I'll keep this fast before Mark goes.
Go,
you know, if he's one of the four, I said it with Hockenson. If he's one of the four tight ends at a bad position, he's worth the premium. And that goes against everything I said about Hockenson or Kelce at the beginning of the year. So, yes, I would, if I'm contending, I would give the first for Kelce.
Yeah, this is the point scoring season leverage that you have. I think Kelsey's probably still going to be good down the stretch. Hopefully, again, I think Hopkins probably helps, you know, make this more of a balanced attack, especially like I know that Kareem Hunt's been doing well and we got Pacheco coming back. So I imagine this is just going to be more of a balanced offense going forward. And so if you need them, I think it's good to, you know, giving up a first. I never have a problem giving up my picks because ultimately they could be nothing. But, if it's a, contending first, you know, that could very easily be a bust. So, you know, if you're going to do it to try and help you win now, like go with it. That's fine.
Yeah, and I'm one of the ones that got in one of these trades got Kelce. I also am the one who got the third. But yeah, I mean, to me, I thought about it actually. I made a similar offer a couple of weeks ago even, and then I revoked it, or I think he rejected it. Ever since the Rice injury, Kelsey's been like Kelce pretty much. He had one down week in the middle of that, and then the four games surrounding it are 21, 23, 32.5, 32.5 in tight end, in 1.75 premium. I mean, that's, and I kind of, you know, and I mean, Hopkins is in addition to it, but I mean, he did this last week with Hopkins too, so he had a good game. So I kind of think that we're going to kind of see these 20 point games for a lot of the rest of the year. So, as like I said, especially with Rice gone. So, to me, the 25 first was worth it to get that for, even if, you know, he falls off a cliff after this year. If he keeps producing like this, I feel like it's worth it. And, especially that team, I am first in points, second in records. So it just made a ton of, and I just lost, Diggs recently. I mean, not that they're the same position, but, you know, I have Kittle too. So, I mean, they're kind of filling the same spot for me in terms of Kelce sort of replacing Diggs. So it just made a lot of sense. And I also lost Godwin on that team, even though I am still high in points. So, yeah. It was definitely, you know, like Mark said at the beginning of the discussion of this one, that, you know, the premium you can get for in-season points definitely factors into it. But it made too much sense to me not to do it. I'm hoping that pick is 11 or 12. So,
yep.
And in a way, that's helping play a little defense against the other teams that need a tight end.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So, like, you having Kittle and Kelce.
It's a really good point that you said it too, because this is a guy who threw out there that he would send Kelce. I mentioned this on the pod like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, like, it's whoever sends me a 25 first for Kelce is going to get him. Like,
and I think I said I wouldn't send the first.
I know you did.
I've totally flipped because tight end is such a wasteland now.
Right. That first was eventually going to probably get sent by somebody. So yeah, it's better that it's you than somebody else.
Yeah, you have two of the four tight ends that matter.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
So
hopefully it wins me a title there, but I've been very good. Like I think every year since TA9 started and haven't won. So hopefully this is the year. But that is our last trade. So that's the end of our show sheet, which means that's the end of our show. I want to thank Frank again for coming on with me tonight to step into Russ's shoes. And obviously I want to thank Mark for coming on tonight and give you a chance to, again, just remind everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
So happy to be here. So happy that you have me on, Rocky.
They probably forget anytime. Since it was 100 minutes ago. So
yeah. Hey, no, it's okay. So check me out on Twitter at Primetime Mock. I do, fantasy football, which is a reality, style guillotine league with all sorts of crazy stuff. If you want to DM me about that, you can actually go and watch the game. You can always DM me and I'll send you the link to that. Or if you want to play, just join the server and we'll make sure when application time comes around that you'll be able to apply as well. In the off season, you can catch me doing auction content with the Absolute Auction podcast with Ryan Miner and Adam Siegel. And you know, I, for the most part, I try to avoid Twitter. I'm really not one who just hangs out on Twitter, but like I do check it. And if you have questions for me, especially auction questions, getting yourself, I love preparing for anyone's auction, not just my own. So like, if you want help with that, if you want some tips, I'm always up for that. And yeah, I mean, it's always a blast being here. And I thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. And go finish up with just our stuff. I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Russ is at Dynasty Outhouse. And, of course, Frank is at Frank in the Chat. So make sure you are following the DAP Network. Also, if you like what you've heard tonight and you're not already, feel free to join our Patreon, Trade Addicts, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us record and see all our beautiful faces. You can get into our Discord server, the Cool Kids Club, where there's all sorts of trade talk always going on there. Also, Frank is always popping news info in there as well before it comes on the show. Yep. So it's a fun time. And other than that, I think it's just, make sure you're supporting Fantasy Cares. Russ does a whole bunch of great work with them, as well as obviously many, many other people. But we always want to plug Fantasy Cares here. I think that's it. So good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.